Good evening.
Good evening.
And welcome, brothers and sisters, to worship at the beginning of this year of our Lord 2024. Remember in prayer the Dykstra family and the passing of Garrett Dykstra, Margaret's brother and Vicky's brother-in-law. And appreciate prayers for our son Reed and Janaea and their church in Avalon on Catalina Island. And the sudden passing of their pastor of 32 or 33 years now. I think he was around 70, 71, something like that. But we watched part of the service this morning, and it was a beautiful, powerful service. Read a letter from the pastor's wife that was incredible. Just a stunning, beautiful statement about God's goodness and grace and mercy and prayer, just very rich. So, but if you have an extra prayer for them and this huge transition that they're in the midst of, and our son being one of the four elders, the youngest by far, finds himself in an interesting situation. So, encourage you to find, keep, take extras, and make use of our prayer card for the year and the opportunity on the back to guide us through our scripture reading through the New Testament. So, and then just a personal note, as I mentioned, some did not hear this morning, but Fame and I are going to be leaving tomorrow for a 2-week study leave. Council graciously offers a week a year, and I'm lagging behind. I think they owe me about 6, but who's keeping track? We're going to be in Birch Bay, and so we'll be back for worship services and all of that. But I mention this because I really seriously do want prayer covering, that it will be spiritually fruitful and profitable, that I will be diligent and disciplined and focused, and that the enemy will be kept at bay, and that it just will be good. So thank you for your prayer support in that. Let's stand for the call to worship. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Holy Father, your servant David once said how glad he was when the people said, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord." And it is our joy and our privilege to come into your house of worship, in the house of prayer, and to offer a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Would you give us hearts that are thirsty for the living God, and give us hearts that hunger for the living word. And Lord, would you give us a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit as we come into this place on this first Sunday of this year. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, and we pray in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
We lift up our voices now in profession of faith from Our World Belongs to God. God remembered His promise to reconcile the world to Himself. He has come among us in Jesus Christ, the eternal Word made flesh. He is the long-awaited Savior, fully divine, human and fully divine, conceived by the Spirit of God and born of the Virgin Mary. Being both God and man, Jesus is the only mediator between God and His people. He alone paid the debt of our sin. There is no other Savior. In Him, the Father chose those whom He would save. His electing love sustains our hope. God's grace is free to save sinners who offer nothing but their need for mercy. Amen. And as the deacons serve us, we offer nothing but what God in His mercy has provided us out of His grace and goodness. Let's give joyfully and generously unto the Lord. Drink in all the sights and colors. This is it, right, Nancy? It all goes away after this Sunday?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many vote we leave it up all year? Wow. Yeah. You can do that at your house. Well, it's been a while since we've had an opportunity to take prayer requests and petitions, so I invite you to take this opportunity if you desire. No, Fema?
Can I just tell them the name of the church in Avalon?
The church is Avalon Community Church in Avalon,
California.
Avalon, California, on Catalina Island, yes. One of three churches in the community, a Catholic, and then a small fellowship. But yeah, it has a long history, turn of the century, if not before, actually 1800s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. All right, Larry?
Just a heartfelt thanks to God for all the gifts and talents that have been displayed, especially over this last month. You mentioned all the decorations, but behind the scenes, all the vocals, just everything that God has blessed this church with that we have been able to enjoy over the last 3-4 weeks.
Yes, thanks to God for all of the grace and gifts. Lord, Thanksgiving to New Year's. There you go. Yep. Thank you. All right. Patrick.
A restful and fruitful respite for our pastor, who will be gone for a couple of weeks.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's what you all can keep praying. Amen. Yep. Thank you. Let's pray together. Holy Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we call on your holy name. We worship you. We acknowledge that you alone are the God who has created the universe and all that is in it, that you alone have stretched out the heavens, that you are the one who has breathed out life, and you sit enthroned in eternity. And from all eternity, you have ordained our days. You have written our history. You have ordered our lives, and you alone are the one who gives us purpose and meaning. Help us to seek you, to understand that and to know that. And Lord, in the way that we mark time, we stand here at the beginning of a new year, full of possibilities and opportunities, and for some of us, anxiety and uncertainty. So we ask you to give us a clear sense of your sovereignty, of your purposes, of your goodness, that there might well up in us joy and trust. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Your word says that your perfect love casts out fear. So grant us that and refresh that in us. And grant us by the power of your word and your spirit that this year would be a year in which we would love you and each other more and more, and that we would grow in our knowledge of you and of your perfect wisdom and will and of your hope and riches and power. And while we think of each new year as a fresh start for billions of people in countless nations, there is nothing fresh about this year. They're still in darkness. They're still in war-ravaged countries. They're still under godless rulers. They're still suffering starvation or poverty or hopelessness. And so we pray, send aid, send help and hope in the name of Jesus to the far reaches of our planet, to Israel and to Ukraine, to Iran and Iraq, to Syria, Sudan, Somalia, to North Korea, to Nigeria, all across the Middle East and in Yemen, where there's such a humanitarian crisis, and Haiti as well. Lord, have mercy. Send a fresh vision of Jesus in the gospel. We pray for your whole church and for all of those whom you have called to serve you and your kingdom on earth. We pray for the missionaries who have gone out. Lord, we pray for favor with those where they serve and fruit in those vineyards you've placed them. Especially we think of China and India and the special challenges that missionaries are facing there. And Lord, for the offering that we took for the Papua New Guinea pastors and for such a generous offering, Lord, we pray that the Bibles will get to them, and Lord, that they will be a treasure to them and a great help to their work. So bless that effort of Eric and Penny Shearing. And we pray also, Lord, that you will direct and depose the hearts of all who bear the authority of government in this land of ours, especially our president, Supreme Court, our legislators, our governor, our mayor, and city council, that all may truly and impartially administer justice, punish wickedness and vice, and ensure the maintenance of true religion righteousness, virtue, and peace. And we pray this same prayer for the spiritual leadership in this place, for our council, our elders and deacons, for our staff and those who labor here, Lord, and who volunteer, that you will guide all of us in this new year, please. Your will be done. And we pray for our church and those who are in the midst of need here, Lord, for John, Marcia, and Carol. Lord, for those who are facing challenges, Lord, we pray for your grace upon those who are doing hard things, parents, grandparents, even great-grandparents, some raising children, for children who are caring for parents and grandparents, for single parents going it alone, for widows who still feel the sting of an absence, for parents who are praying longing prayers for prodigal sons and daughters, for those trying to make ends meet, for those locked in daily battle with the enemy of their souls, fighting temptation, sin, doubt, fear, for those who are just weary in mind or body or spirit. Lord, would you hear their prayers? And Lord, hear our prayers, my prayers, and famous as we have the privilege and the blessing, really, of being able to give some focused time to study, reflection, meditation, prayer, preparation. Lord, cause that time to be more than we could ask or imagine. And would you manifest your grace in the midst of it? Lord, thank you for this flock that you have gathered. And thank you for all who are a part of it, that you have called out of the world and into this place. And thank you for those who use their gifts and share them. And especially the abundant evidence of it that we saw in the holiday season, from Thanksgiving through Advent and Christmas and on to the New Year. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Will you open our hearts and our lives to you and your will for us, Lord? We invite you to have your way with us and to use us for your glory. Draw us closer to you and each other. Come, Holy Spirit, make us to be worshipers and lovers of God. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
We return to Luke's gospel in chapter 2 and the verses 36 to 38. Along with Simeon in the temple. And there was a prophetess. And I know there's debate and discussion. Anna. I'm going to go with Anna. The daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, as I said, I want to return to this text and focus more intently on Anna. Scripture tells us very little about her, actually. Everything we know is right here. But what it does say about her is important, instructive. She's a great model for us. And we ought to be thankful when God just wastes space in his book with these little snippets, just a few details about different lives that he has used for his glory. And we've seen a few of those as we've looked at the whole Christmas story. By first century standards, and I underline that clearly, by first century standards, she was very old. Not by modern standards, but and by first century standards, hers was had to be a very long and very hard life. To be a widow for that long is hard to imagine. There was no retirement. There's no social security system. There's none of the support that we know. She must have been poor, and she must have known little else but hardship. People who are destitute, people who are desperate, do something that others too often forget to do. They turn to God. They have no other hope. And so they set all their hope on the God of hope. I'm reminded of the example of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, when he says, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." This is what desperate people do. And it is amazing what happens when they do it and how God meets them. And so Anna exemplifies in the physical realm what all of us ought to do in the spiritual realm. In this life, on this side of heaven, we are poor and needy. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We are without hope and without help apart from Christ. And that ought to be evident in our clear dependence on him. Now, there are four things about Anna that stand out in this text, four things the Holy Spirit wants us to know and to imitate about her character. So first of all, Anna loved God and she loved God's house. The temple was the place of God. It's where God's glory dwelt. And so God was her refuge and her strength, her very present help in time of trouble. Anna is a beautiful picture of an elderly person still abounding in acts of devotion to God. She still loves God. She loves his house. She loves his people. It is a joy and a blessing to see those in their old age, not growing weary of doing what they have long done and continuing to do. Even as the day of their departure approaches, they are more and more attentive to eternal things, to heavenly things, to holy and godly things. In the temple, she felt closer to God. She loved to be among the things of God, the Ark of the Covenant, the altar, the Holy of Holies, the great basin, the Torah, the priests, the sacrifices. The words of the psalmist no doubt echoed in her own heart in Psalm 81. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself up in the rafters of the temple, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. And again, the psalmist in Psalm 27:4, one thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. This was her life. This was her center. This was her focus, her purpose, her meaning. She is thoroughly God-centered, God-saturated, loves the Lord and his house. People who are God-centered see things. They see things in the heavenlies. They discern spiritual realities. They're blessed with visions of glorious things. They see more than what other people see. They see things in God's word. They hear things in sermons. They get more out of the word and out of prayer. Anna is an example and an encouragement to all of us, and to our elderly in particular. She represents the fruit of a God-centered life, a well-lived life. Second, Anna was a woman of great self-denial. She worshiped and served God with fasting day and night. And I don't know how much hyperbole there is in that, but it's clear that it is something that it was well known that she did a lot. She crucified her own flesh for the sake of her soul. She died to self that she might live for God. And do you think she thought her denial was loss? I don't think in her mind. I think it was all gain. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? I think of the words of the missionary Jim Elliot. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. So she's not carried away with the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. And she's not caught up in the temporary things, the trivial things, the worldly things. She doesn't while away the precious gift of time with hours upon hours of mindless TV or worldly reading or gossip or pining away about the past or whatever other worthless things might consume one's time. And she doesn't just observe the 2 days of fasting or the 3 hours of prayer that the Jews kept. She went above and beyond, constantly at prayer and fasting and at every opportunity for worship and service in the temple. Her faith was not a formal faith. It wasn't cut and dried. It wasn't compartmentalized. Her devotion wasn't limited to an hour or two on the Sabbath or a prayer before meals. The Pharisees, they fasted and they prayed several times a week, but they didn't. But they were not praised in Scripture as Anna is. They did it for themselves. They did it to be noticed. They did it for the approval of men. They were lovers of money and power and position. Anna is praised because it was different with her. She was disenchanted with the things of this world and enchanted with the things of God. And this is true the older we get. Older people learn this, and they can teach the rest of us. I am struck by how many times these thoughts are moving in on me. I didn't think I was that old. But I'm dying. Heaven is approaching. The days are numbered. The time is coming. As is said in the Psalms, Lord, teach us to number our days and to think more about heaven and less about earth. Anna loved God. She loved his house. And it was nothing to her to deny herself in the service of her God. She denied herself the present things for the future things. She denied herself the good things for the glorious things. And again, what a picture of the difference between those who live for this life and the pleasures of this life and those who live for eternity and who are storing up treasures in heaven. And so she teaches us to prefer the things of God, and for many of us, that will require changing our preferences. Blessed is the man who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all the good and necessary things will be added to you. Anna was also a woman of great prayer. Says she prayed day and night. Like the old man Simeon in the temple also, she was praying and she was waiting for the consolation of Israel, for the redemption of Jerusalem. And she didn't grow weary in pleading and in waiting. And isn't that the definition of prayer, of asking God and then waiting on God? And it's not just a passive waiting. It's a persistent waiting on God. Prayer is setting our hearts on Christ and on the things of Christ and then earnestly seeking him and those things with all our heart. And notice how Anna especially persisted, as it says, day and night. What's going on here? Do you think God appreciates being hounded in prayer? Will it surprise you if I answer yes? First of all, it's God's will that we ask him for things. And not only is it his will, it's his delight. He loves it when we ask him for things. Proverbs 15:8 says, "The prayer of the upright is his delight." And here's the amazing thing. God actually takes special steps to see to it that he is persistently sought out. We know, of course, of the parable of the importunate, the persistent widow that Jesus tells. But there's an interesting text in Isaiah 62, 6 and 7. Isaiah 62, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." God has appointed people to give him no rest, to remind the Lord and never keep silent. Anna is one of God's appointed persistent prayers, who loved to pray and from whom he loves to hear. Do you know that you worship a God who loves to be asked and delights in your prayers like incense? And here is a widow who had very little to give by the world's standards, but she has a lot to give to God. And it pleases him. By the world's standards, prayer is a small thing, an inconsequential thing. But by God's standards, it is a most powerful thing. It connects us to the Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God, says Zechariah. Finally, Anna was a woman who received a great reward. She saw the answer to the greatest prayer she ever prayed. She saw the consolation of Israel, the redemption of Jerusalem with her own eyes. She prayed for great things and she saw great things. Countless thousands of saints through the centuries who had gone before her, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, but they never saw what she saw. God blessed her by allowing her to see what so many had prayed for so many centuries. Her faith was turned to sight. Her hope was turned to certainty. And how great must have been her joy. She got to see the very one who would open for her and for all believers the way to the one place that she could not go, the Holy of Holies, to come before the very presence of the living God. What could possibly be our reward? After all, Christ has come, but there remains a second coming, a promise yet to be fulfilled. And how much might it change our present outlook and our present attitude and our present lifestyle if our fervent prayer was for the final coming of Christ? How dramatically would that change what's important to us, what matters to us, what we're working for, what we're striving for? What would be different about our lives and our conduct and our habits if we were looking for and longing for the final redemption and consolation of all the earth? Who today longs for these sorts of things? I asked that question this morning. Who longs for the day of the Lord's returning? I love that verse in 2 Timothy 4:8. It's marked because it strikes me the way Paul says it. Here he is, the last letter perhaps that he wrote, approaching heaven. It's close, he knows it. And his mind and thoughts are turned in that direction. And he says, "There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." To all who have loved his appearing. And in Hebrews 9:28, Christ will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Christ is the reward of all who long for him. He's the reward of all who long for victory over sin and over any bondage and any addiction and any temptation. He's the reward of all who long for liberation and for freedom and peace and forgiveness and pardon and healing and hope. Are you longing for something that this world can never provide, can never supply? Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Open your eyes and your hearts to him. And if this exhortation just bounces right off of you right now, then plead with God to change your heart, to soften your heart so that you can hear his voice, that you can respond to his grace, to repent of your old ways. So as we embark on this new year, and as we have looked at this text this morning and this evening, it is another call to prayer, especially for those who might be feeling useless, might be feeling less necessary in the eyes of the world, that you're not able to do all the things that you used to do. Well, you are the most useful to God and the most necessary to us and our future. God, in his wisdom, in this church, has been pleased to give many among us a long life. Many among us have been given a long life. And you are a treasure to our body. You are a source of great spiritual power. Kingdom-moving power. World-changing power. You have been given the gift of time and ability and freedom to approach the throne of heaven on our behalf and to entreat the Heavenly Father for His favor and blessing upon us. You have been moved from all the other activity. And that having happened, you may feel like you're useless. You may think that, well, you're just a burden. But you are the ones to lead us in prayer. You are the ones to show us the power of prayer. You are the ones who actually can do the mightiest works among us. You are the ones who can unleash the power of God in our midst. Now, I'm not saying this to suggest that our widows don't pray or don't know how to pray. I believe they do. And I'm not saying this to diminish prayer by the rest of us, but to unleash an even greater prayer power and encouragement among all of us. This is to acknowledge the gift of God among us, and it's my desire to fan the flames that are already there, to pour gas on this fire for the glory of God. So at a time when some of you might feel like you're being pushed aside, or when you might be tempted to take a back seat or get out of the way, well, you are actually equipped and blessed and prepared by God to be able to expend your remaining energies on the most important work that needs to be done. And so I urge all of us to lay hold of the horns of the altar, to wrestle with the great angel in prayer until God releases His blessing, day and night, standing in the gap, persisting in prayer before the throne of God. And may the lives of widows and widowers and elderly in this place be as beautiful a gift to our temple as Anna and Simeon were to the temple of old. And may we all behold Christ in our midst because of you and your prayers. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father, would you be pleased to use the wisdom of the widows and the spiritual energies of the elderly to lead us to new heights, to new visions, to new worship and service. Lord, may our senior saints be encouraged that theirs is the greatest work and theirs is the greatest reward. And may we honor them and follow them as they show us the way to Jesus by their words and example. Father, glorify your Son and glorify His church through your answers to our prayers. And yes, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We wait for you. Amen. brothers and sisters, devote your hearts and souls to seeking the Lord your God. For those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. He is near to all who call upon him. And may the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you this day, this year, and always. Amen and amen.